Nervous to the right. Now watch this turn. Indicator left, down the slope. What a shot. What a shot, is it? Oh, would you believe that? Rory McIlroy. What a round of golf. It's one outside the Augusta course record.
Hello, welcome to Putting for Dough Show, PFD Show, the winningest golf DFS show on the planet at the moment. Absolutely no doubt about that. We have sadly dropped from a quad box, a four ball, to the final two this week, just me and Jack. How are you doing, Jack?
I'm okay, Mark. How are you?
I'm all right. Let's start off a little bit gently. Before we talk about the ins and outs of last week, how did you do DFS wise?
Worst week of the year, but luckily for me, it was mainly playing with tickets. I invested money to win those tickets, but it was a smaller loss than what it would have been if I'd paid to play those contests that I played in. I mean, we're a deeper dive into what the goings-ons and things like that, but that's not really the reason why. It's not the reason at all why I'm annoyed about that event. I was quite happy with my process. It's been very profitable all year, so I'm not going to change just because of that one event. But we'll go into that in a minute. It wasn't a great week. Cam Smith actually. I put a bet on him in play at 40-1, and I think if there'd been two or three more holes, he would have probably won the whole thing anyway. But he managed to get the each way for me at 40-1. He returned a nice bit of money back there. So to be fair, the money that I got back on him there, I probably broke about equal even anyway. So it wasn't all bad, but DFS was poor last week.
Yeah, it was a very odd week. You had a 6 of 6 and didn't even cash. Is that right?
Yeah, which is just so hard to do that.
It's so hard to do that. You could do that if you tried.
No. Like I said, the process was right. I'm not going to change my process because my process is right. Newsletter was on fire again. A bit disappointed my call. I'm changing things up this week. Not because of that. I want to change things up. Again, we'll go into that a bit later. I want to focus on a few more other things within my process around all of that. So we'll go into that in a bit. But the newsletter was on fire. Your cut makers went 4 for 4. The sexy sixers went 4 for 5. Four of those made the cut. One of them was well in contention for a while in Sam Bennett as well. So and Nick's FanDuel core smashed as well. So, you know, there was lots of positives from, as usual, from the newsletter. What we're doing is right. I just have a lot of gripes with the USGA and that event as a whole, to be fair.
Well, that's a beautiful segue. Let's move on to that. There you go. The floor is yours, Jack. Everybody's listening.
I honestly, I'm not going to... People have seen my views on Twitter. I thought it was going to play a lot different to what it played. I'm not saying it played easy because, you know, the winning score was 10 under. My argument was through the whole thing is it become a putting contest because there was wide open fairways. You had water on the ground in the mornings every day. So you had people shooting 60, 62, 63s, etc. and it turned into a putting contest. And the proof is in the pudding. I looked at the stats the other day. Wyndham Clark finished dead middle of the field on strokes gained approach. And then people are going to come at me now and go, oh, Jack's got a problem against Wyndham Clark. If you go back and read every newsletter I've done this year, I think you'll find Wyndham Clark's been in my core about 40% of the time. So I don't have a problem with Wyndham Clark. I'm actually really happy he won it. He's one of my favourite golfers on tour. I really enjoy watching him play. My issue is he finished dead middle of the pack on strokes gained approach. You shouldn't be doing that in a US Open. And he ranks inside the top five in strokes gained putting. That is the proof of the pudding there. It turned into a putting contest down the stretch. And that's what annoyed me about the place. I would urge people that, I mean, I've had people, I'm sure people are just trying to troll me at this point, but whatever, it doesn't, nothing like that really bothers me. You can try and troll me. I let it go in one ear and out the other. When 90% of the people that I respect in the golf industry are telling me that that golf course is a pile of crap, I know that I'm right and that you're wrong. So, if, and I would urge those people, if you enjoyed that, you tell me what stood out on that golf course for you to enjoy it. You tell me. That's all I want to say about it. It was crap. It was the worst US Open I've ever watched in my life. I've watched every US Open since I've been 10 years old. That was the worst ever US Open in my lifetime. And it's just disappointing. I like watching golf. I literally just switched off from the event from Friday. That's how bad it was. It was crap. Just tell me one. That's what I want to know from people that enjoyed it. You tell me one standout thing that was good about it.
Well, the good thing is you'll be able to do it all again in 2039. I think that's where they're going back there, isn't it? They're going back there.
Hopefully I'll be dead by then, or they get someone to go in there and drop a frigging bomb on the place, because that's what it needs.
It's 16 years. You won't be dead in 16 years. Something's gone horribly wrong.
That was a joke. I just obviously hope that they learn from their mistakes. You know, you shouldn't be having scores like we were seeing on certain days at a US Open. It just doesn't happen. People should go back and want to watch US Opens. Go back in history. Look, when Justin Rose won his US Open, he was the only player that was level par. Everyone else was over par. That's how US Opens set up. That's what you become used to. Obviously, yeah, maybe I'm not used to that type of thing. The whole event, just the no fans in there. Apparently, all the members of that golf course were buying up tickets to stop actual fans going in. You had limited fans in there. I mean, I know someone mentioned, because I've switched off by this point, someone mentioned that Rory was waiting on one of the tee boxes for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Absolute joke of a place. It needs nuking into the sun. It's the worst golf course I've ever seen in my life.
You don't will.
I've seen some bad golf courses. That is the worst golf course. That I would put that up there with the Byron Nelson for golf courses. It is terrible.
Well, if we're still doing this show in 16 years' time, I'll remind you of this the week before it, Jack. I think we'll move on from there, because I don't want you to put your heart under any more stress or pressure. Let's talk about some positives, though. Like you already said about the newsletter, etc. Let's do all of that admin. So we've got listener leagues again. Just go to the @PFD show. All the listener leagues are there. The newsletter is getting a little bit of a revamp this week from Jack.
Yeah, no, it's getting a little bit of a revamp. Basically, I just want to... obviously, Mark's mentioned that we will be going to pay content at some point next season. But while it's still free, I want to showcase what we can do. And it's all very well me dropping a core every week. But people will be like, oh, what's this core for? Bloody, bloody, blah. I know I put GTP core on there, but people are playing other things. So what I'm going to do is drop a GPP core and a cash core going forward. There'll be limited notes on why I like those players, etc. Because I want to concentrate more on writing about strategy each week. I know we go into it on the show quite a lot. So that's kind of, it's basically the new, it's Jack's GPP core section. It's just going to be called Jack's attack plan for the week. People will be very surprised how I play anyway, but that's kind of what I want to do. I want to showcase what we can do. And by dropping the cash core in there as well, we've been smashing double ups all season. So I'm sure it's going to be very profitable for people, and I want to get it in now. And yeah, like I say, concentrate on the strategy side a little bit more.
The Jack attack is just going to be great. It'll be interesting because I mean, we talk about this stuff a lot. We actually talk about it to some degree as well offline to each other and stuff. You know, this week is a great week, actually. I've just looked at some early ownership numbers, and there's some great ways to do some great things. We'll get onto that when we actually talk about it. My cut makers, I'm going to stress, I'll probably tweet out about this as well because I'm not sure people realize it. It's actually a lineup of four players you can play in a core. The usually you're left with 15, at least 15K left for your last two. So it's not like I pick four the best players. You could easily pick like Scotty, Rory, Rahm. These actual lineups, these actual four players you can use for the base of your lineups. Only five or six got through last week, but still doubled up quite easily. Had a really good Sunday in that respect. There's a, as Jack says every week, if you just play the players now, either we mentioned in the show or in the newsletter, it's impossible to lose money. All I've been doing on the multi, the GPPs now is I just make a note of the golfers that we mention. Yeah. And they just become my pool. And they've been winning. It was another profitable one again this week. Not as big as it has been previous weeks, but it's another profitable. That's all I did. So, you know, you get a piece of pen and paper, write down who we're picking.
Hi, Kev, as well. thanks for joining us. Yeah, I'm very happy it's Travellers Week, and I'm very happy to be away from that awful place.
I'm looking forward to a little bit of a, you know, a minus 15, minus 18 winning or something like that. I know you love your hard courses, Jack, but I'm just sick of the low scoring.
No, Mark, this is the thing. People go to, well, you just like absolute, you like watching these players suffer. Yeah, I do like watching them suffer. But if that was the case, I wouldn't have enjoyed the Canadian Open the week before. And I actually really enjoyed the Canadian Open. It was a proper golf course. It was a proper test. I like golf courses. I say it all the time, proper golf courses. LACC, nuke it into the sun.
I like these scores, these courses with better scoring because there's less importance on the finishing position to your fantasy scores. Because I just feel that with the research we do and the type of players we play, we gain an advantage from choosing players who can score fantasy points. And that's what we do. And I think when you have these really low scoring tournaments, basically the finishing position is too big a percentage of the overall score. And there's just so many variables in that, you know. So that's why I like these higher scoring courses. Anyway, talking about courses, I think that leads us nicely into, I think we've done a lot of admin, I think.
Newsletter will be out tomorrow as usual. I think Nick's going to do a FanDuel one as well. He's very busy. That's why he's not on the show tonight. So we'll see. We're not promising that, but we may have that out as well.
Yeah. So let's start with our course preview for this week for the Travellers.
Yeah, so we head to Cromwell in Connecticut at TPC River Highlands. This is a Pete-designed golf course in 1982. He renovated it again in 2016. The renovation, the usual renovation thing, the bunkers get moved up, the tee boxes get moved back, etc. Just for to accommodate these new golf pros that hit it an absolute mile. It's a par 70, it's 6,814 yards long, one of the shortest golf courses on tour. Water comes into play on this place on five of the holes. The fairways here are bent grass. The rough is that Kentucky bluegrass. They've grown it up a little bit more this week, apparently, again, so it's going to be about 4 inches long. The greens here are bent grass, which we've had for the last few events, but they're about 5,000 square feet in size, so they're quite small, again, sort of pebble beach size greens this week. So approach play once again will probably be key in both of our models this week. The 14th is a par four. It's a drivable par four, and it's the easiest hole on the golf course. It gave up the most birdies last year in 2022. Two of the par fives are also fairly easy. They give up the second most birdies out of all the holes on this golf course. There are lots of dog legs around this place. It's a tree. You've got the tree line fairways as well. So they should just, with the rough as well, it should keep all the scoring in check. There's a lot of bunkers as well around this place. Hole 15, 16 and 17 are known as the Golden Triangle. They all wind around the lake and feature a dramatic runoff areas around the greens. All three holes played over par in 2022. I think we're going to, like Mark said, I think it's going to be a bit higher scoring this week. I think we're going to see a winning score of about 15 under myself. I think the cut's going to be around even par to one under this week. I'm quite looking forward to it, actually. There is a bit of weather about as well. I'm gonna, obviously, if you sign up to the newsletter, you get all the weather report. Early look, and it's Tuesday, so don't take this as gospel, but there looks to me like there's a PM AM advantage on the Thursday, Friday. But this is very early. Sign up to the newsletter. I will have that out tomorrow night, and the most up-to-date weather report will be in that. Also, sign up to the Discord because I'm always dropping stuff in there, little information. I drop showdown calls in there as well, so it's well worth signing up to that.
Talking of showdowns, what's going to be a bit confusing for Thursday is historically this is an AM course
Yes.
for showdowns, but the weather's looking like it's going to contradict that a little bit
Yeah, at the
on
minute, it's
Thursday.
Tuesday.
So
It is Tuesday, so plenty of time.
great. So let's talk about your model, Jack. What have you got going on there?
I got a bit strokes gained off the tee. Good drive percentage, like I mentioned. You got the tree line fairways here, so you do have to be fairly accurate and dog leg. A lot of placement shots here. Strokes gained approach, and then I've got proximity buckets of 125 to 150, and then 150 to 175. I've got strokes gained around the green, strokes gained putting on bent grass, strokes gained putting inside 10 feet, opportunities gained, strokes gained total on short golf courses, and then my comp courses are TPC River Highlands, Harbour Town, and TPC Potomac.
Very, very similar. I've got greens gained in there, fancy points gained as well. I do like my gain stats, because I just, especially with these stronger fields. Talking of which, there is a possibility, I think, that we might get some withdrawals before Thursday.
Yes, I mentioned it in the fan team tracker group. If you plan any season long changes, I would wait till the very, very last minute. So a long way to come from LA to Connecticut, and I know these guys all fly private, and half of them have got their own jets and things. But it's still a long, long way to come across the country. So I could see a couple of withdrawals this week.
Definitely. I think also there's that sort of general after the Lord Mayor show sort of feel about this. So yeah, the other thing just want to mention, if I've heard the right things, the field hasn't historically been as strong as it is this year.
No, it's an elevated field this year, so it's not been as strong, like you said. There's a lot of golfers that are seeing this place for the first time. We'll get into them in a minute, but just off the top of my head, Sung Jae Im and Hideki Matsuyama never seen this golf course before. They'll be seeing it for the first time this year. So I think it was Sung Jae
It's
Im. No, it wasn't Sung Jae Im, sorry. It was Sung. Was it Sung Jae Im? No, it was Hideki Matsuyama and Cameron Young. Sorry, the two net golfers that come to mind that haven't seen this golf course before. That might come in handy with the Cameron Young thing, actually, that he's never seen this golf course before, so I don't have to play him again.
it's just one of the things. This is meant to be one of the most predictive courses for with course history, but people have been generally playing weaker fields, so it's just something to just bear people to bear in mind, I think, don't you?
Yeah, again, with my model, all mine are weighted strokes gained as well. So, yeah, it's going strength of field for me.
Let's get going. Got to find my screen for it. Let's get a look at these lineups. We've got five above 10K this week. We've got Scotty, Rory, Rahm, Xander, and Cantlay. Let's have the same conversation as we did last week. Who are you going for here?
Scotty and Cash. And I mean, he's still another top five last week. That wind's coming. There was times last week that he was gaining strokes with a putter as well. So that win is coming. He was 13th here last year, 47th the year before, and he missed a cut the year before that. So he's got a bit of course history around here. He ranked third in my model this week. Again, it's Scotty. He's gaining strokes across the board. The only place that he's losing strokes is with the putter. We know that. But as I've mentioned, there was times at the US Open last week that he was gaining strokes with the putter. I think it was Saturday he actually led the field in strokes gained putting. So maybe he's found something. Who knows? But I'm just going to play him in cash. He's going to be the highest owned. I really don't care for cash. I'm just going to play him. And then the other guy that I really do like in this range is not someone that I get to a lot, but it's Patrick Cantlay. He's come in the second highest owned actually within the range. But he ranks number one in my model this week. He's he's green across the board, Patrick Cantlay. Very good putter as well. Form's rounding off nicely. He was 14th last week at the US Open. It looked like he was going to miss the cut for a long stage after the first day. Rallied back to get a top 15 there. 30th at the Memorial before that, and then he was ninth at the PGA. We come and PGA again, the PGA Championship was in a similar area to what we're going to see this week. Very, very good course history here. He's been top 15 for the last 5 years here, Patrick Cantlay. So he's my favourite this week, actually, up here. So, yeah, I'm going to play Scheffler in cash, and I'm probably just going to play Patrick Cantlay in my GPPs this week, to be honest.
So, there's numbers two and three in my model. My number one is Xander again. He's had four top fives in his last eight.
Yeah.
Six top tens. Can't go really wrong with any of them. If he's really going to be the lowest owned in the 10Ks as well, that's going to be, I think, a fantastic opportunity for people. If he is, though, let's see. Tuesday ownership projections aren't always the most accurate. Yeah, play him again, didn't let us down, particularly last week, who's in my cup makers, and he finished 10th, so he did fine. Are you tempted to play Rory this week?
It's a hard one. The form's there. He's obviously seen this place a few times as well. He's been top 20. Well, it's a bit weird, actually. He sort of plays it every other year. So he played it last year, finished 19th. He played it in 2020, he finished 11th. And he played it in 2018, he finished 12th. So, you know, he's got good form here. Should be a place he likes. But my main worry with Rory is I think he just gets in his own way. He just overthinks things. Like, he bombs it a mile off the tee. He bombs it, like, a mile up in the air, which, you know, that can do you harm at a place like this where you've got these tree line fairways and dog legs. It's not about bombing it. It's about, you know, clubbing down, hitting your free wood off some tees and things like that, getting yourself in very good positions with your wedges. It's just not someone I get to. Maybe he comes out and wins this week. I don't know. I think he's getting himself prepared personally for the Open. I think he's going to have a very, very good chance at the Open. And, you know, I'm not Rory McIlroy's biggest fan. People know that, but it wouldn't stop me playing him in DFS because I'm not his biggest fan. I don't play DFS like that. But I'm probably not going to go to him this week. I think he's just going to use it as a tune up. The John Rahm one's interesting. I think he might come in the lowest owned out of this range. I know it's saying Xander to us at the minute. He actually ranks second in my model this week. I mean, he's always high within my models, John Rahm. And what I did like about John Rahm, he shot that like 6-under par round at the last day at the US Open to finish inside the top 10 there. I've only seen this course once before. It was in 2020 when he finished 37th. But I think he could take real advantage of this place. He's not someone, John Rahm's a thinker. Like, he'll go round, like, he'll hit the free wood off of the tee, whereas Rory's going to hit the driver. So it's interesting. I will look at John Rahm for GPPs, but that's going to be something I dive in deeper tomorrow on the Wednesday when I get a bit more accurate ownership.
I was impressed by Rory coming second last week. When you think about all the pressure the last couple of weeks with the whole live thing and all of that, and he's like, you know, this is his chance and stuff, and he still came second. I was kind of impressed by that.
I thought he got his own way.
Yeah, but I still think he's that way.
You thought about, if sorry, you thought about it too much. And then he just done what he done at the Open, where he just kept hitting the middle of the greens, leaving himself 20-foot putts. It's just, I'm sorry, you're not going to win a major like that. I mean, I haven't watched any of the last day because I just don't want to watch that golf course. But what I have heard is a lot of people are saying that they thought Wyndham Clark would throw it away, but I mean, he didn't. But yeah, it was great. Like, you know, I'm not his biggest fan, like I say, but it would not stop me playing him in DFS. I just think he's going to use this as a tune-up this week.
Yeah, I think, well, as we say, I always say, there's no bad choices up here, really. Not really. Should we move to the nines, which is he's missing a few players this week, to be honest with you. We've got Victor at 9-9, then Tony Finau, Colin Morikawa, Tommy Fleetwood, Wyndham Clark, and Ricky Fowler and Matt Fitzpatrick. Who's your favourite here?
Well, a lot of these guys have got really, really poor course history, haven't they? If you look at it off the bat. Favourite's probably Victor Hovland. He ranks fourth in my model this week. He's green across the board, Vic. I know he's had that win already this season. Finished 19th at the US Open last week. He was actually one of the players very, very critical of it. He was moaning about it more than me on Saturday. I saw a tweet from Victor. He was having a dig at it as well. So, yeah, but he's number four in my model this week. Green across the board. Very good strokes gained tee to green all round, strokes gained total. Has seen the golf course before, finished 11th in 2020 and 54th in 2019 when he was obviously much younger golfer then. He's a lot better golfer now. So yeah, Vic's probably the one that I really do like. Apart from that, this is not a particular... I do like Tommy Fleetwood. I think that win's coming for him eventually. I bet him this week, actually, Tommy Fleetwood. He ranks... Yeah, he's ninth in my model this week. Again, gaining strokes across the board, actually ranks inside the top five in my model for stroke weighted strokes gained on approach over the last 32 rounds.
Yeah, I like them both. Those actually, they're fourth and sixth in my model, same as you. With Victor, Matt Fitzpatrick is eighth in my model, and nine. It's currently predicted to be some pretty low ownership for these players as well, really, which I find quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Wyndham Clark
gives you a few opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, Wyndham Clark's getting very low ownership here, isn't he? At 7 points.
We're not playing Wyndham Clark though after him winning his first major. It's like that would just be crazy.
No, yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna play him, but no.
Yeah, so I think there's some opportunities here to fade the tens in. You're playing multiple lineups or maybe even single entry, I think that'd be a good idea. Fade the tens, play start here. I think it gives you some opportunities there. That's good. It does seem short though as well, the 9K range this week. So let's have a look at the eights. I think this is the last range I'm gonna name. Starts with Max Homer, then Justin Thomas, who is not really Justin Thomas at the moment, Sungjae, Hideki, Jack's favourite Cam Young, Jason Day. My showdown lock, Thigala, Shane Lowry, Tom Kim, and Siwoo Kim. Mr. Pete Dye himself. Okay. Are you playing Cam Young this week?
No, I'm not. He's never seen the golf course before. Cam Young's another one of those guys. Obviously, I think he's probably a lot worse than Rory. Thinks he can bomb it off the tee everywhere on every golf course that he plays. If he tries to do that here, it's gonna be horrible. He was awful at the RBC Heritage, from what I remember. He actually finished pretty much dead last in the field at the RBC Heritage. Off the top of my head, there. So no, I'm not gonna play Cam Young. You know, despite him making the cut last week, no, thank you. I'm actually going to play someone that I never play, and it's Sungjae Im.
What is wrong with you? This LA course has broken you.
So Sungjae ranked sixth in my model this week. He's pretty much green across the board in all the major stats that I'm looking at. Anyone that sort of lets him down is the proximity range from 125 to 150. But this just, to me... seems like a Sungjae course that he can plod around and get the job done. He's played there twice before, finished 58th and 21st back in 2020 and 2019. The recent form has been, yeah, it's been bad. You know, missed cut at the US Open, missed cut at the Charles Schwab, missed cut at the PGA. I'm not so worried about the missed cuts at the major championships. He also made the cut of the Memorial in there, finished 41st. The one that would concern me is probably the Charles Schwab, that he's missed the cut there. But then you look at it, he plays so much golf, which is, you know, it's just ridiculous. But before that, he was on a bit of a tear. You know, he finished at the Wells Fargo, he finished 8th, which was good to see. I just think this sets up very well for him this week. I like him for GPPs, and he's just someone that I never, ever get to. But at the ownership for GPPs, I think I'm too good. So it's just, for me, this sets up to be a typical Sungjae course, and I'm going to play him in GPPs this week. Go on.
Sorry, that was a big surprise. I think nobody had that on his bingo card.
I just think it sets up well for him. I think this is a small golf course. He's not the longest guy off the tee anyway. Because if you look at that, that's a red sort of like minor red on the stats. If you look at his driving distance, but not really going to matter around here. What I do like is the driving accuracy. He actually ranks. Sungjae ranks 2nd in my model on driving accuracy over the last 32 rounds.
Yeah, what I find weird about him is he ranks highly in my model as well, but obviously he's just been missing cuts. So,
yeah, but I think you can throw out the major missed cuts because you've got him on a golf course he's never seen last week, which, you know, I've had my say on it. And then you've got him at that PGA Championship, which set up like a US Open should have set up. It was really, really hard. I mean, there's loads of guys that missed the cut there. Like loads of soft guys. So I can forgive the missed cuts at the majors. The one that does concern me is the Charles Schwab. That is a little bit worrying. But it's going to be something I deeper dive into. But at the minute, spoiler alert, he's probably going to be a GPP cash core lock, sorry, for me, in the newsletter. You didn't expect that, I'm sorry.
I play Sungjae a lot. I just can't play him at the moment. I just can't play him at the moment. Who I can play in here, I can play, I know he hasn't played it before, but I can play Hideki for sure here. Yeah. And I can also play Thigala because he just doesn't miss cuts anymore. I feel like he's high floor, high ceiling at the moment. I think he's more than just a showdown play.
Spoiler alert, I think he's going to be in my cash core. So
yeah, I think he'd be in my cut makers as well. The thing is, even if when he's scoring, forget the 27 years, but or in some of these other ones, in fantasy scoring, he'll be like 20 spots ahead of that, the actual finishing position. So I think he's a showdown lock every single week, every single day that he plays as well, regardless if he's AM or PM, he's just that kind of player. So yeah, I think I might go to Max Homa. Can't remember last time he was in the eights. Looking at in more detail
before we move out of this range, can I tell you who I'm not playing and he's drawing the ownership?
It's pretty spread out, isn't it? Tom Kim, then.
Yeah, so I'm not playing Tom Kim, and there's a reason behind this. I mean, people could laugh at me and whatever, do what you want. I look at a lot of stats and look at lots of these golf courses and things like that. Tom Kim missed the cut at the Sony Open and he missed the cut at the RBC Heritage. Both of those golf courses are tree-lined fairways with lots of dog legs. I think he has an issue with this style of golf. I think he's a good bet. I think that's how you get away. I think that's the way you get around it this week with him. I wouldn't play him in DFS, but I would bet him in case he does win. Because he was very hot at the US Open last week. He played really well to bounce back how he did. But I'm not going to play him in DFS. I'm just going to put the bet on him. But I do think there's an issue there with him and tree-lined golf courses.
Yeah, I do love players at this sort of range with such high ownership because they're just easy fades for me. There's
And I
so many
do.
other players around it.
I like Seaworth, which I think you will as well. I think we're both going to like Seaworth.
Yeah, of course we do. It's actually what I hadn't predicted we were going to talk about. You were going to say. I think I've got most of my predictions right for you so far. Anyway, talking about very highly owned players. At low prices, let's talk about the 7K range. I'm not going to name them all. I'm going to take a leaf out of Nick's book there. But we do have Russell Henley projected to potentially be the highest owned of all players.
Now,
How you
this
going
didn't
there,
work out
Jack?
well last week. Not with Russell Henley, but it didn't work out well with Justin Rose, who was the highest owned player in this race last week. I think I'm just going to play him in cash, to be fair. I do quite like Russell Henley on this golf course. I was going to bet him. Didn't quite make my betting card. I in fact put Tom Kim in over him. But yeah, he will make my cash call probably this week, Russell Henley. He's made the cut in his last three appearances, clearly found something with his game. Green across the board. The only thing that he's red on again is the driving distance, but that doesn't really matter around this place. Seen this place numerous times before, finished 19th here in 2021, 32nd in 2020, missed the cut in 2019, and he was sixth in 2018. He actually ranks, where is he in my model this week? He's 10th in my model this week. So he's popping in the model. He's the highest 7K guy I've got in my model this week. So I think with the ownership, I think I'll lock him in cash. It doesn't really, if he does miss the cut, like what Justin Rose done last week, for cash, it shouldn't really matter to me as much. But that's the way I'm going to go about it. I'm definitely not playing in the GPP, so.
No, he's had seven top 20s in his last eight, so he's super consistent. He's a cash play, he's a cut maker, he's all of those things. But there's so many here, and it is that time of the week where you name most of them, Jack. So who else are you talking about here?
No, go on. Who's your favourite? I want your favourite first, and then you
Oh,
can
okay.
go
Well,
to mine.
I'm going to go back to Stephen Jaeger, I think, again.
Steven Yeager.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I love Yeager bombs, but.
Yeah, I had him in the cut makes a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, he just kind of makes cuts. Been making. What is it, last seven or something? So yeah, I think he's not spectacular at any particular stats, but he's for the price he's in, he's decent. And yeah, he made his last four cuts. So yeah, he's definitely a safe play for me.
Nice. Other players are like Keegan Bradley. good course history here. Probably should have won this event in 2019. Got beat down the stretch. I can't remember. I think it was Ches Reavie who actually beat him down the stretch from memory. Green across the board. Clearly likes his place. He missed the cut last week at the US Open, but I just don't care. He's a north west sort of northeast, sorry, guy. Generally, this is where he does his damage on golf courses, plays really well in the northeast of America. So Keegan Bradley's someone I like. He's drawing a bit of ownership at the minute, which I didn't quite expect that, but he's up there. Denny McCarthy, happy to go back there. Nick, I think you owe me lunch on that one, didn't you? And you, Kurt. You both wanted to beat the boy in Garrick.
How dare they take us on, Jack, on Denny
How
McCarthy? How
dare
dare
they?
they?
How dare they? Denny, who makes every putt known to man. I mean, he was 20th last week at the US Open, which wasn't a great setup for him anyway, but he was second the week before at Memorial. Memorial's probably, it's a tougher track than this is, but it's more a typical like design, the same as this is. Hasn't got the best course history here, loads of missed cuts, but I think he's just in a better position, playing a lot better, green across the board, and like I said, we know he's just clutch with putting. So very happy to play Denny McCarthy. Minwoo Lee's drawing some ownership. This is set up nice for Minwoo Lee. Finished fifth at the US Open last week. Just seems to play these big boy elevated events really well, Minwoo Lee. So I'm happy to go there. I tell you who I'm not playing is Brian Harman. He's drawing ownership, and he's drawing ownership for a good reason. He's had top four top tens here in the last 5 years, but I'm not playing him because I don't know if you remember this, Mark. Do you remember the last time he was really, really highly owned and he missed the
Yeah,
cut?
yeah,
So
yeah.
I've
It was that
got
was one of
fingers
those where,
crossed.
yeah. I remember this because I think I picked him,
So
and
I've got
it was
fingers
like
crossed.
it was like a sure thing. Yeah, it was one of those like sure things where he couldn't possibly miss, and then he did.
So I won't be playing him. Show favourite and a regular. I will just Benny Ann here at 7-5. I will just mention that he was playing US Open qualifying before his last event. His last event was the Memorial where he finished 24th. So it must have been, it was when they were playing the Canadian Open. He was playing US Open qualifying and he pulled out after round one with a injured back. Just be careful.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say this week with Benny Ann. Do like Benny Ann as a player, but I'm a bit skeptical of that this week with him. Like Matt Kuchar, I think he can get it done around this place. Again, you don't have to be long off the tee. Matt Kuchar is very good on the approach, gains a lot of strokes putting around the green, etc. It's been pretty good this year. Missed the cut last week at the US Open, but again, I don't care because it's just not a golf course that sets up well for him. Aaron Rye, I'll go back there. Was third at the Canadian Open, very good on approach. Gains a lot of strokes putting. Austin Ekro, he's just been, I mean, that guy's been a trooper. He's just tons of cuts made recently, gaining strokes on approach. Happy to go back to him. Do you want his name anymore? Have you got any more, Mark? And I've got some more I
Oh,
can
no,
name.
it's kind of the interesting thing about Ekro is we know he's going to get ownership because he's been bet down from like 250 to 1 to 66 to 1 or something like that. Last I saw, probably down to 50s by now. His ownership's going to be pretty high. I think his ownership's way too high for anybody in this sort of range. Predicted to be around 16% at the moment, but you would still be interested in playing him.
Maybe in cash as a cash play. Maybe if you didn't, let's say you pivoted off Henley, for example, Ekerot's the guy that you could pivot to, I would have thought, and save yourself some dollar. But yeah, it's a good point. But I think it's a cash play. I wouldn't play him in GPPs.
No, I agree.
And
His
down here,
ownership is wild.
I'll just read these names off now. KH Lee, his nickname's TPC Lee. This is a TPC track. He loves birdie fests and things like that, so he can get it done around here. Andrew Putnam, I like. Seabez, I'll go back to. I'll definitely play a bit of Seabez. I'll probably play Seabez in cash, actually. Justin Sir, I like. He's been on very good form at the minute. Who else we're down there? Adam Schenk, I might go back to as well. Brandon Wu, Sepp Straka. There's loads of guys down there. I mean, JT Poston's another one. Joseph Bramlett. These are all guys that I'm happy to use down there myself personally.
Cool. The only one I haven't found is Putnam. Where's Putnam? Oh, there he is, 7-2. Yeah, that covers most of them. I'm just trying to look and see if anybody sticks out from my model down here.
Eric Cole will be popular, I think, as well this week.
Yeah, he seems to become a bit of a DFS darling, doesn't he? Can't find where he is. No, he covered most of every. All the main ones. We've still got I've just been seeing that Åberg has been getting pushed a little bit of steam, but I don't get it at all. I've got actually Patrick Rogers is quite high in my model, and he's made 7 of his last 8 of his last 4 cuts. So he's definitely something I'd be interested in at 7-3. Other than that, you've made the other ones which are sort of sticking out in my model. Our models are coming up with very similar results, I think, this week, Joe.
It's always worrying when that happens.
Well, they're both win. I definitely not played at Ekro in any format of the game. Just can't do it, especially not with that
Fair enough.
ownership. I mean, I hope he gets more ownership because I'll be fading him. The other thing about the sevens is the sort of. We talked last. We started talking about this last few weeks. If you're looking for a range to sort of fade for a game theory point of view, it's definitely 7-6 to 7-9. It's a lot of ownership there, from Adam Scott down to Denny McCarthy. Definitely a lot there. So, and actually, there's hardly any ownership in the sort of the eights and the sort of low nines, really, considering the quality of those players. So, Yeah, we'll look at that when we're doing looking at lineups.
Bit more of
Sixes,
that in the newsletter, as well, sorry.
So sixes, lots of names there, players we've been playing recently, I think, as well, including Chesrivi, who's a previous winner at 6-7. He's actually not in bad form as well.
No, he's in good form. The only thing with Chesrivi is he's drawing a bit of ownership down there. He'll be in the sexy sixers this week, most definitely. Along with my favourite player, Mark Hubbard, at 6,900. I love him down there. He did not let me down at the Canadian Open. He finished sixth at the Canadian Open. I know I needed him to win probably to take down the Pat Mayo contest, but he was brilliant at the Canadian Open. Before that, he finished 30th at Memorial, which is an elevated event again. And then before that, he was ninth at the Charles Schwab. So he's in really good form. He missed the cut of the PGA. Again, I can throw the. Oh no, sorry. He made the cut of the PGA, but he was did he make the cut of the PGA, Mark?
Yeah,
Was
well,
it
they
there?
said 75th, which I don't
Yeah, so
get.
he was pretty much dead last in the field. But he was 27th at the Wells Fargo. He was 18th in Mexico. So he's been making a lot of cuts recently. He's got a course history here. He was 46th last year, 13th the year before, 37th the year before that. He's my favourite option this week in the 6K at 6'9". Gaining strokes on the approach. Ranks 18th in my model overall. He's going to be in the sexy sixes this week. Spoiler alert. He's definitely someone I'm going to, like you've mentioned, Chesbrevi. I don't mind playing Chesbrevi down here. And very happy to go back to Dylan Wu again, who just didn't let me down last week. Not getting a lot of ownership. I just don't know why people don't play this guy. Like, he's a constant cut maker. I know he had that stretch in the middle there where he missed a couple of cuts, but he's made a lot of cuts for a player of this down here at this value this year. I think he's made about 12 cuts this year from memory, something like that. I think, has he seen this course before? So he missed the cut last year here, but I think he's just playing better golf right now. How many cuts he's made this year? 15, Mark.
Again, sorry.
How many 15 cuts made this year, is he?
Yeah, something like that. So I've had on my season-long team on fantasy. I've been there for ages because he's so cheap and he's so consistent. I really like him. I know Kurt liked him as well last week, didn't he?
Yeah, but
I think he's lost.
he'll be in the sexy sixers, spoiler alert.
Yeah, I think I'll be going back to Carson Young potentially. My favourite Young, if I have to go down here, I'm not actually sure I need to really come down here this much this week. Compared to some of
No,
them,
I like
but
Carson. I'll go back to Carson Young as well, sorry.
yeah, he's the best Young in the field. I'm not going to be playing Masters and Sixes this week, I don't think. Just don't feel the need. Especially if the lower sevens are going to be so low owned, as they are predicted. Anyway, let's build some lineups.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Who are we gonna start with then? We'll go top. Should we just go straight in with Scheffler?
Yeah, stick him in. Can we do a Scheffler and Cantlay lineup? I've not seen what this does yet, so I just wanted to see if we could do it.
7-1.
Well, yeah, we can do it.
You can
What
have
do you feel
Hubbard in
about
there.
sticking Hubbard in this lineup?
Hubbard's in.
And then what's that leave you? 7-2. So you get back down as a 7, get a bit lower. Who to be like up here? We
Look
didn't
like
like.
some people you name like Stu, Straka, Wu. They're all under that price. You could put Reedy
Yeah,
in as well.
I like Bez, didn't I, at 7-2?
Yeah, you did. You could actually put like a Chesrevie in and go up to the 7-7.
Let's do that, Reavy, and then.
Which gives you a Danny McCarthy if you want him.
So if you put Brandon Wu in, you could probably. Oh no, he was six. Not Dylan Wu. Sorry, he was. He was. So yeah,
So it
I
gives
would
you
just stick.
7-8.
Well, you could do loads of 7-7 here, couldn't you? So you could just.
Yeah,
Yeah, you
well,
can get.
you got
I mean,
lots of options there.
if you put Dylan Wu in, you can get to Keegan Bradley who are lights or Russell Henley. If you just leave it as it was with Chesrevie, you can get to Denny McCarthy, Minwoo Lee, people like that, Corey Connors. Yeah,
Lots of
quite
options
like
there.
that. Certainly doable that.
Let's fade the Tenzo for one. We start with the Victor Hovland because they both have him ranked quite high.
And Fleetwood.
Where's Fleetwood there? Yeah. And then should we be brave and put a little bit of the Gala in or something like that? Or
yeah, stick Thiegler, the Gala
as I heard him called. Yeah.
Stick him in for a bit of upside. What about Sungjae as well? I don't know what that's going to take you to 6'9". This again, I don't.
Yeah.
And then maybe stick Dylan Wu in this one, because then that'll get you back up to the 7'2" range.
That's a pretty decent lineup, no matter what you do there. Now, got a few options there.
Yeah, you know, I would probably just stick Bez in for the safety. Yeah. Personally, that's just me. But I think I like that lineup quite a lot.
This could be you'd think the top four would definitely make the cut, so it could be a good cash game line up that.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Anything else you want to do before we go?
No, that's all good.
It's all good. Nice one. Okay, let's get that back. Cool. Okay, so there you go. We basically, without Nick, we've saved about 10 minutes of everybody's lives. It's about 10 minutes shorter than normal. So yeah, hopefully a better tournament for you to watch. Hopefully Jack will still be watching on Sunday this week. What do you want to tell us before we go?
As usual, the newsletter will be out tomorrow. There, as I say, we've mentioned the change that's come in this week to it, which I think is beneficial for everyone. So yeah, sign up to that completely free at the moment. Yeah, that's all good. We'll be back next week where are we next week? I don't even know where we are next week.
I haven't looked a season long yet to know.
We are at the Rocket Mortgage next week, the Rocket Mortgage Classic.
Okay.
So we're back there.
Cool.
So we'll be back next week for that.
If we're going to be at the Rocket Mortgage, then it's good that Nick will be back. It's a specialist subject. So people can find you at Jack Humphrey DFS. You can find you can find me at _SMRF, and you can find everything to do with PFD at PFD Show. And as we like to sign off here, we say see you next Tuesday.